At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello and welcome to the ATG Super Show. Today I am joined by Jamie on my left.
Hello.
And Milo on my right.
Hello.
And this is a special show because this is Milo's farewell show.
It is, yeah.
Oh, what a sad day.
I'm heading out. I'm venturing the world.
Literally.
Hunting for games.
Cooler stuff.
Looking for the best games around.
You're going to the home of games, in fact.
I am. To Japan.
Ooh. But hey, we'll still be in contact with Milo, so if you want to send him a question or a comment or something, don't forget to get on our social media. You can go on our Twitter or Instagram at All Time Gaming TV, and our Facebook is All Time Gaming Official. So hey, well, look, we might fill you in with what Milo's up to on his travels.
In fact, you should follow Milo on Twitter so you can see what Milo's up to on his travels. Or Instagram, or whatever you want to plug.
Milo197 on Twitter and Miles Fishman on Instagram.
Oh,
I'm creative. Go. But, guys, before I go, we still got a podcast to do. And I want to talk about cloud gaming.
Cloud-based gaming.
I've been told I have to, so let's do it.
Stadia.
Stadia. Google Stadia.
Well, first of all, though, Milo, I want to know what you've been playing. Let's have a quick catch-up.
Oh, what haven't I been playing?
I don't know if we've done a podcast together. We have done one, but I don't know when that was. So
long time ago. We live-streamed together.
We did live-stream.
Father-son live-streams every now and then. Hell make sure to choose it.
Yeah, check that
the
out.
The last one tomorrow, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah, wow.
The last ever father and son.
Yeah, Milo's last live stream. Get on our YouTube if you want to see that. We'll be playing something to be decided.
Yep, still don't know yet.
TBD.
It's all about
not good with that.
Milo's choice. It's like Sophie's choice, but fun.
Yeah.
Meryl Streep will be on the live stream.
Oh,
I can't
confirm. She will not.
No?
No, she
will. I got told that Meryl Streep was 100% booked.
They couldn't get her.
Ah, shit.
Busy.
Damn.
Busy. So what you been playing?
I've been playing Sekiro. Shadows Die Twice.
Nice.
Don't know if I like the second name to it. Shadows Die Twice seems a bit
superfluous.
Why is it called that?
Because when you die, you come back because you can die twice.
Right.
But sometimes three times. Sometimes more.
On stream, Chris died like 90 times. So
yeah,
I'm like,
you die like a lot in that game.
Nah, to be fair, you didn't die that much.
Terrible at it.
Sekiro sounds like Sekiro. A cool word, though.
Yeah, Sekiro is a cool word.
I can say that word a lot.
I think it means like lone wolf in Japanese.
The character's called the wolf, right? So,
Because I thought it was his name, like his name was Sekiro.
Yeah, he is. You later in the game, you do get branded like Sekiro.
You're branded by your tag.
Well, a guy looks at you and goes, "I'm going to call you Sekiro." And you go, "That's the name of the game." He said it. Roll credits.
I'm contemplating legally changing my name to Sekiro, as a matter of fact. I just think it would be a cool look for me.
I agree. I've a bit fortuitous because I have a Sekiro t-shirt that I got for free.
Ooh, oh wow, I wonder how you got that.
People often know that I only seem to wear t-shirts that I've got for free, having, you know, worked on this channel.
You got it for free, did you?
I did get it for free.
Or did I get it for free?
Oh, you might. Did you get it for
me?
You got it for me, yeah, that's
right. Here's the thing about video game t-shirts, Milo, they don't fit me. Okay, so I go to these things, or we all go to these things, and they fire t-shirt cannons at you, and you're like, great, a medium. I'll give this to...
Was this E3 that you got the...
It
was Gamescom, and you actually played the game, didn't you? And you got a t-shirt.
Got a t-shirt.
So then I got a t-shirt.
Which means you got a t-shirt.
That's how I got it. But after playing the game, well, seeing Chris play it and playing it for like 2 seconds, I'm definitely getting it.
I might do. I'm waiting to see what Milo has to say about it, because it sounds like you've played the most.
Yeah, I've played maybe 6-7 hours. I've beat two of like the Shinobi Warlords that I think there were like maybe 5 or 10 in the game. I don't know, like the big bosses. And they're difficult, but... It was manageable, but I did feel like I was cheesing most of the time. Whenever I beat someone, I didn't feel like I earned it.
I'm a filthy cheeser.
Even though I've clearly done a lot of the game, I still feel like I don't really know what I'm doing and that I'm guessing.
Okay.
Even now, I'm like, I did it. Don't know how, but
hey. Hey, sometimes progress is progress in those games. You just got to take what it's going to give you. And as long as you reach the next bonfire, you can breathe a sigh of relief and
thank God,
that's over.
But the game seems really weirdly easy apart from bosses. Like, enemies seem like no trouble at all, but bosses are super difficult. I got stuck on like a bull about 2 hours.
I like that. Like, we talked about this briefly before, but I hate games where you can't beat anyone. It's just, it feels like every fight is a boss fight.
Yeah.
It's sort of soul destroying. At least give me those little fellas to take out so I can feel like, no, look,
I am
cool.
Yeah, like you are a master ninja and you feel it.
You do,
it's cool.
You do.
But if you like Dark Souls, blocking and is not really a thing anymore. You've got to parry, and you can't just dodge. I've been getting through just dodging and jumping around and taking advantage of invincibility frames, but you can't keep doing that.
I'm bad at parrying.
Yeah, timing, not my forte.
No, me neither.
I'm glad that you guys have said that, because I feel like every game where it says parry and then, you know, hit him after, I can't ever get the parry.
Me neither.
I'm glad to hear that.
Never been able to do it in Dark Souls. Makes me beating all of them, never parried.
Makes me feel good. Jamie, what have you been playing?
I've been playing more Division 2.
Nice. Ooh.
Which is still a good game, I'm glad to report.
Still a good game.
I have almost finished the core progression. I've hit level 30, but I haven't actually finished the last stronghold,
okay.
Which means I'm not in the true end game, and I haven't seen some of that true endgame activities, but I'm going to get there hopefully in the next week.
What kind of things do you get in the true end game?
So there's a whole faction. Hopefully this isn't a spoiler for anyone. There's a whole faction.
Big spoilers for a second.
Oh, yes. Division 2 spoilers. Oh. The main story
you
has
You walk around a city and you shoot dogs up the ass.
You know what? It's still a lot of that.
You can do that?
And deer. And rats and all sorts of fun animals.
It's a hunting simulator.
And they don't give you any meat, though. Oh. Very disappointing. Anyway, the main story has three factions through it. And when you get into the end game, i.e. you hit level 30 and complete the story, an entirely new fourth faction invades the map, and they retake certain control points, and they occupy certain missions from the main story. So you run them again with a whole new faction, whole new enemy types, whole new set of tactics. They're naturally the most advanced militaristic style.
That's so cool.
Because the main story has a lot of dudes who are like, I'm going to walk towards you with an Uzi held sideways and just like, fuck off and die. And in the faction that invades at the end of the game is much more like, yeah, we've got cool robot dogs with guns on them.
That's
like
so
four-legged
cool.
robot things.
Yes.
And shit like that. So that's going to be interesting.
Makes it a bit more interesting.
Do you get Terminators later on?
Terminators?
Yeah.
As in Arnie style.
Yeah,
like,
they just proper come in.
I fucking
guns
hope
blazing.
So. I'd love that.
Do you know what? That would be genuinely be a cool addition to Division 2. The whole, like, there's fire everywhere and it's kind of crazy and there are Terminators walking around. Proper Skynet bullshit.
Yeah, I'd love that. That
would be very cool.
I also want to give a quick shout out to the fact that the all-time gaming Division 2 clan has now been made, is up and running, and we've had our first outing. I'd imagine some of the members will be listening. So shout out to all of you if you are.
I'm just biding my time. I need to get involved in that clan.
Well, we can all boost each other. Someone joined the clan on, I think it was Saturday night, and they were level 5, and we boosted them to, like, I think level 12 by the time we stopped playing.
That's pretty
so
good.
We can rattle you through it, Jamesy, if you want to. Same goes for you, Milo.
Does 30 seem like a good amount of levels? Because that seems quite small for me.
You know what? It depends how you play the game. If you're going to play in groups of people who are higher level than you and you're going to be doing, like, main missions maybe slightly out of order, it might go too fast. I think for that individual, it probably will.
Okay.
For me, as someone who played 80% of the game solo, it was the right amount of time. I think we're talking about, like, 20 to 30 hours to finish the main mission and hit the level cap, and then the end game starts.
The real game.
It seems like some people are questioning how much actual raw content there is in the end game. Like how much there is to do that's completely new before you're back to that classic looter shooter loop of I'm going to do things again and hope stuff falls out of people. It seems like that might be actually be in the 6 to 8 hour region, which is okay, but maybe not great if they're like, hey, you're going to be playing this game for years.
So you're talking like 30 to 40 hours worth of original content across the whole game.
Much like all the Destiny games and the First Division game, there is value for money. If you go in saying I'm going to play this game for the next 6 months, might be disappointed. If you go in saying, I want my dollar or pound to hour ratio to be good, then it will be.
Interesting you should mention dollars to pounds and hours and ratios, Jamie.
Ooh.
Because that takes us nicely onto our... the only thing we're going to talk about this week. There's not going to be any news items. But yeah, talking about the way games work and how you interact with that and whether you buy games or maybe you get games as a service, you know, like a Netflix for games.
If only such a thing existed.
If only there was a cloud-based service that could serve you something, much like Google are doing with Stadia that they've announced at GDC.
Oh. What? What's that? Tell us more. So,
Jamie, we talked about this briefly, didn't we? You said we should do a show where we just talk about cloud-based gaming and I suppose what it is, the questions we've got, did Google answer enough of those questions? What's that going to look like for the future of games? So do you buy a game for $60 and then say, did I get my 30 hours? Or do you pay your $10 a month and then you play a game for as long as you want? And then there's thousands of new games that you can play. So I suppose we should kind of get into it with Stadia. A little bit of Stadia info first. Would you like that?
Yes, please.
So I think there wasn't a huge amount of information that Google gave. They sort of outlined generally what the product's going to be. So they touched on things like Stadia is going to be, at launch, a 4K, 60 frames a second games streaming service where everything is done remotely. So it's the chunky work, all those computations are going to be done off-site from your house or wherever you are.
Yes.
By some pretty meaty computers. That is all then piped back to you. And that's how you play your games, to a controller, a Stadia controller, and also
a magical Wi-Fi controller.
A magical Wi-Fi controller, or...
Which I don't understand how it works, but...
If you forget the controller as well, it still works in your browser. It works, so you can play games without the controller as well. It's not limited to that, but that will be PC-based.
And you can plug in like a PS4 or Xbox controller into your PC and play them,
so you should be able to use any Bluetooth or USB-powered controller to play any of the games, assuming you can get onto Chrome.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the big thing.
But the Stadia controller is the only one that has that benefit of connecting to the data centers via Wi-Fi. One thing that was interesting, if you re-watch the demo that they do on stage, they show him using the same controller to go from, like, I think it's a Chromebook or a tablet straight into a TV. The reason he doesn't have to, like, re-sync the device or anything like that...
Because the controller knows.
Yeah, we're used to having a Bluetooth connection to the device we're looking at, whereas the controller's going right to the data center that's running the game. Which, in theory, also reduces latency.
Yes. So the way I kind of thought of it is you can almost think of the controller as a router or like a hub, right? So that's connecting straight to your Wi-Fi. That's porting the signal out to whatever device you want to use with a Chromecast built into a TV or Chromecast on a TV or Chromebook or whatever. So that is doing the lifting for you. So that's why it's like a seamless connection. And your monitor or your TV, all they're doing is displaying that picture.
Yeah.
So I suppose kind of like you do with your mobile phone, where you do send to my TV, send to my Apple TV, send to my smart TV, send to my... Like, I get annoyed with my phone just Bluetoothing out signals all over the shop. And with my Amazon Echo now, it'll sometimes just start
Check
playing
you,
like
Amazon
that.
Echo.
Hell yeah. It'll just start playing.
The future.
But then I'm like, why aren't my videos working on Twitter? And it's because they're coming out of my kitchen. They're on my Amazon Echo.
Right.
So this is like the game version of that, right? It just seamlessly links to whatever device you've got.
Yeah.
So on the face of it, it is very cool. Like, this is what I've been looking forward to. We've been arguing about for years.
But I have a question.
Yes.
What exactly is it? Is it a service? Is it just a platform? Do you buy games individually? Do you subscribe to something?
Well, Milo, if they'd answered any of those questions...
Then we'd be in good tidings.
Yes.
But we're not.
From what I understand, I think from what they've said, we can take that it is a service that... It's been called the Netflix of gaming, but the biggest question you had there is...
By Google or by
No, by the
internet.
People. They've said, the Netflix of gaming. But the question is, how do you get those games? Do you pay $60 and then you have a license to play a game streamed? Or do you pay a monthly fee, kind of like Xbox... What is it called? Xbox Plus?
Game Pass.
Game Pass. I'm thinking of PlayStation.
Yeah, Pass or PS Plus kind of thing.
Yeah,
where you get free games.
Yeah, that you there are games on it and you can play as many games as you want. As Jamie was saying the other day, you can go mental.
Pass,
Yes. With games. Yeah, it presents you the whole library and you can download them all sort of a la carte and play them as you wish.
Kind of how... So PlayStation now, they've tweaked their service so you can now download PS4 games straight.
Yes, they've got no backwards compatibility, so you can't download PlayStation 3 games to your PlayStation 4, but PlayStation 4 games are now available to download and, in theory, play offline. So
Although there's been some issues with that, hasn't there?
Yeah, there's always going to be issues with that. Well, I think that's probably one of the things we're going to get to is the idea of how games themselves continue to move online and be games as a service and whether game ownership is... already changed as a concept in 2019, but there we go.
Because there are some people that already offer it. You can already play games, not as a service, but you can play, you can stream games, can't you, already? So you PlayStation Now, that is a service because you pay a fixed amount and then you get certain games. You can stream some of the PlayStation 3 titles and things like that.
I think you can still stream like PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 2 titles. Of course, when PlayStation Now launched, it was exclusively streaming. So Sony have, been
the whole thing
you'd
be downloading, that's new to me.
And it's only PS4 games that you can do.
I think it was because some titles they couldn't stream. And so the way to get around that is they've kind of gone the Xbox route and they allow you to download them and then you play them locally. So then they work.
I think I prefer that.
Same.
I think the issue with that for me is that the whole idea of games as a service that you can play anywhere, obviously that doesn't work. Because you need to have the connection, you need to download it.
Yeah.
Are you then going to take your PlayStation with you?
I suppose that's what Google's whole big thing is with the Stadia, is that it's connecting online.
It's all online. All of your AAA titles right off the bat are going to work. They've already said that they're going to have first-party exclusive content. They're going to have some second-party exclusive content.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
So they're making a big play to take hold of the games market. And I know that our bet, I think, is by 2021. I've said that I think cloud gaming at this end, at the AAA, at the new games end, is going to be a bigger share of the games market than the console market is at the moment, which you think is insane.
I still think it's insane, jump.
By 2021 as well.
2 years. I don't know.
Well, we first made the bet a couple of years ago, and I think Jonesy's predictions weren't necessarily way off in terms of the technology and what we were going to eventually adopt.
It's there.
Just perhaps, the time scale and the numbers. Because obviously there's still a huge install base for traditional consoles in the hundreds of millions.
People don't like change.
People don't like change. As the internet has reminded us, in the wake of the Google Stadia announcement, a lot of people reacting to this very negatively. Mm. From saying they don't want it to lots of people being very skeptical and saying, well, it straight up won't work. And even like you just said, lots of people are scared, saying we don't want to hand over the keys to Google, of all people. We don't want them controlling everything.
Yep, and I think it's interesting that there is already a product which effectively does exactly what they're going to do, which is Blade Shadow, which we talked about on the channel before and we've played, and works pretty well to all intents and purposes. You have a PC or a laptop that it just shows you a desktop of another machine which is somewhere else in the world.
Yeah. Screen sharing.
And then you play the game remotely through that, and it gives you an up-to-date PC which has got will run any new game a lot, and you pay effectively a lot less than you'd pay if you went out and bought a new PC.
£30, so I guess that's like $35 a month.
Yeah, and you get I don't know what they've done now.
The Shadow one was specifically you get basically access to a high-end PC, right? So you played games that you already owned on services like Steam and Origin and Epic.
So you download Steam to that other PC.
Almost like a virtual desktop.
Exactly. And then you could access it like that.
Will Stadia work like that then?
I
hope not.
Stadia is using these massive supercomputers to do all the heavy lifting. So
you pay for the ability to stream anywhere, but you still got to buy every game individually.
I hope it doesn't.
Maybe through Steam.
I really hope it doesn't, especially given that I think it's Microsoft's Project xCloud, which is a similar kind of service, which is a game streaming service that Microsoft are talking about this year. There have been a few tentative things put... I don't know where the info's come from, but that will be rolled into the... Remind me what it's called
again. Game Pass.
I always fucking forget this. Game Pass, where it's $10 a month.
Yes.
So if that is part...
It's really good.
So if that's part of that whole thing, and they're offering a monthly subscriber service... So one of my big things is, think of Christmas, right? Let's say your mum and dad or your nan or whoever are like, they want to get you a present. You're 15 years old. You don't have a console, or maybe you want a new one. You've got a PlayStation 3. Rather than someone have to shell out for a PlayStation 4, they get you like a 3-month pass to Stadia and a controller for like $50. I think that's the sort of thing for me which is going to maybe make or break it. Because if people can do that and you have access to any title, any new title that comes out, it's a big selling point for them.
But again, you can't say, with that much conviction that the people who play Stadia are going to have access to any title that comes out.
No, you can't.
They're going to be making very specific deals, and there's certain things we know that they're never going to get access to.
Yep.
For example, first-party software from companies like Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony.
I can't imagine Sony giving up anything.
Exactly. No. We'll remain first-party.
To anyone ever.
No. So basically, what we're talking about is a land-grab situation when it comes to third-party. And what we worry about now is a situation we've already seen in the battle between Steam and Epic, where the next step is battles for exclusivity.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, you have for us here in the UK anyway, a Netflix, Amazon Prime Now TV situation of... Which one is this movie going to be on? Who's signed deals with who? Oh, up until this Disney thing, Marvel had a deal with Netflix. Infinity War is going to be on Netflix on Christmas Day. Great. but I have to go over to Amazon Prime because they signed a deal with Warner Brothers, and that's where I have to go to watch Lord of the Rings or whatever it is. We're going to be talking about the same thing.
Yes.
And all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, my mum got me 3 months of Stadia for $50 and I can play all the Ubisoft games I want, but I actually kind of want to play the new Call of Duty. And Activision signed a deal with Sony, and that's only on PlayStation Now.
So my question with regard to something like that is, do you think, therefore, people will stick with a physical console, or will they more stick with multiple subscriptions? So is this cloud-based gaming inevitable, and it's just who you're going to sign up to?
I think it'll be a slow absorption from one into the other.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think most people already toe that line already. Most people already own, all of the people at this table, in fact, will simultaneously have a physical console, and yet every month will pay towards something, whether it's, even at the moment, Xbox Live Gold or PlayStation Plus.
Yeah.
We're all paying for something.
Yeah.
I make the mistake of going one step further, and I have EA Access on my Xbox One.
Oh, God.
So I'm already giving EA, I think, £8 a month through my, on top of what I give Xbox.
Right.
I'm giving, so on my, through my Xbox, I've got Gold, Game Pass, and EA Access. I've got three subscriptions taking out of my Xbox a month.
Do you think
already.
We'll get Stadia on consoles?
No.
That'd be the most bizarre thing. Because you can launch the web browser, go in and start playing.
Honestly, I can see Microsoft or something like that would probably want that. Microsoft want to be in bed with everyone right now. I think Google are coming at this with a very much of, we want to leave our mark in the gaming industry, but we also want to take a big slice of this and we want to make it ours. And I think that when you look at a lot of what they're trying to do to create an ecosystem around Stadia, you watch a video game trailer on YouTube. You click on the link to go directly to playing that game.
That's kind of mind-blowing.
You play that game for a little bit, and then you put the controller down to watch your favorite streamer play the game on Stadia. They want to create an ecosystem that is, you know, that basically has no exit hole.
Mm.
They want people to stay in their system for as long as they possibly can. And I don't think that involves getting in bed with any of the first party companies that we're familiar with.
What I'm curious about is because during the presentation they show that the person's watching a YouTube video and they click and then bam, they're playing it. Does that imply that, let's say we're going with a model where you have to own the game, so that would mean that the person already has to own the game before YouTube allows this option, otherwise it would just say buy now instead of play now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is a bit more of a harder sell. It's still good advertising and marketing because then you see the trailer, bam, you want to buy it instantly.
Yes.
But then if it's always about trying to remind you to get you to go back into a game, I have a feeling that it's going to become a very free-to-play market with microtransactions for long-term investment game.
Yeah, how can they build up and sustain the quality of that library?
Because if you bought your game and it goes, play now, you go, cool, they're not getting any more money out of this.
Mm.
And, you know, you're just playing your product. But if something like Apex Legends goes on there, it'd be like, oh, you can buy this many battle passes. Or
you're more likely to do downloads, you're more likely to buy coins. Yeah, absolutely. But
so we'll just see it just become a complete free-to-play marketplace.
That's why I kind of think it adds to the idea that maybe it won't be per title. It will just be you pay for the service, because if you're paying for the service, if they can get you to go back into that service, you're less likely to cancel your subscription.
Yeah.
So the real issue is, can they maintain, or can they put it at a price point whereby you don't cancel because you wouldn't bother? Like, so Prime, I haven't watched anything on Amazon Prime for probably like a year. I haven't cancelled it.
I can't name a single show on there.
I think Lucifer.
Jean-Claude Van Johnson.
A Man in a High Castle? Is that? Oh, that's an Amazon thing.
I can't take it back. There's actually really good ones. I'm watching the Americans. I don't even know what I'm talking
about. Some great shows in there, like, but I haven't bothered cancelling it because it's like 10 quid a month, so I'm not going to bother.
And you get delivery next day.
Added into your, if you're a Prime member.
Oh, yeah. I use Student Prime, so it's £5 for me.
But that's another example of one of those companies saying, how many of these things can we roll into one to incentivize people staying in our ecosystem?
Yep.
All of a sudden, you're talking about, well, what if you bought a month of Stadia and also got 3 months of YouTube Red and Google Music thrown in on top?
Yeah, that'd be like pretty cool.
Whatever else they do.
Because with Amazon, you get Amazon Music as well.
Yeah,
you do. Prime.
No one uses it.
No one uses it. Like, so that Google, shows about implications.
So
like,
Google has Google Music as well.
Yes.
They also have video. So you kind of have to wonder.
What's on their video?
I'm pretty sure they have a video thing
well,
as well.
You can buy films. You can buy movies on YouTube.
Okay. I thought it would be like a subscription fare.
Netflix. You buy... So kind of how we're saying you could buy a title and then it's available in the cloud. So they do that so you can like download the video. So then, or you can download to watch.
I remember now. I have Fast and Furious on YouTube.
Right. Yes.
It's the one movie I own.
It's the one movie you need.
Exactly.
Just watch it over and over.
Sadly, it's the fifth one. The fourth one. The fifth one is
called like Fast and Furious.
Yeah, okay. Which confused me. I put it on first. Sat watching it.
It was the one before they got good. So after Tokyo Drift, but before Rio.
Yeah.
Okay.
Five's where it takes off and becomes insane.
Five is the one with the bank vault being dragged along the road and the rock gets involved.
I stopped after three.
What? Really?
Well, three was bad.
If you're going to go out on a high, you go out in Tokyo Drift.
Yeah, with Toretto pops in at the end there.
Hell yeah.
I love that bit.
But going back to Google, but I
no, I it's too fast.
Now I've just got that song stuck in my head.
I don't know what song that is.
You'd recognise it if you heard it.
The Teriyaki Boys.
But so yeah. Google as a company, though, going back to streaming, are very well placed to create like a whole service where they connect everything to that Stadia brand, if you like.
Yep.
So, because it's not just a controller. When it first came out, I kind of thought it was all about the controller, but they've been quite explicit in that it's not that. It is a service. It is you sign up and then you can log in from multiple places. Mm. So if they tie in, I mean, why they wouldn't do video? I mean, that why they wouldn't create like a Netflix is beyond me. Why not? You're already serving gamers, which is a lot harder than serving video. So if they're going to go music, so they might as well, you know, music, video, games, they've got you. Like, Google have got you for 100% of your online viewing time.
Yeah.
Which is what a lot of people don't like about this thing, is that they don't...
A lot of people, especially middle-aged people, friggin' love it.
Sure.
A lot of them get upset about it, but I don't understand why, because some people who complain about this voluntarily just put stuff on Facebook of them going on holiday or, look, it's my niece's birthday, and you go, this is how they get the information.
Yes.
They don't need to buy it off you. You're doing it on Facebook for free.
So yeah,
and you get upset
that,
oh, I don't want to give them my info. It's like, everyone already has it.
So the first time you bought anything Amazon. From any of them, you've given them like so much of your information. Every time you Google something, you've created this epic profile of this is who I am.
It keeps track of what you do.
Of course it does. So it's kind of a bit of a... You're right. It's a bit
bizarre. Yeah.
People don't like the idea that they've already given up their lives in terms of their data and all the information about them. And they like to think that everyone lives in secret, private lives.
I love that idea. Like, as soon as you're born, they literally make a note of it and keep that stored and keep information on you.
But for some people, it's like the ultimate, like, they live style, like, disaster where all of a sudden you've got a Google phone, you've got a Gmail account, you watch YouTube every day, you play games on Stadia, you buy your movies through YouTube.
That sounds
great.
In
some ways, it's like one size fits all, right? Like, you have one account that you have to keep under control. And
instead
it's
the 17 I currently do now.
But there are some people out there with tinfoil hats on who think that they're or somehow under the radar already, which are not, by the way, if you're listening. They know everything about you that they
want
to know.
You've got a YouTube account.
Yeah, if you're watching this, you're fucked. But they don't like the idea that they, like I said earlier, they're handing over the keys to Google and like that one company can have that much control over their lives.
I think,
but I'm going to say I don't think it's any better to have let multiple companies like do it.
Almost feels worse.
No. Yeah,
you're more open to being like attacked from hackers and things.
Exactly.
The more you spread your information around, like, you know, if you were only on Twitter, then you've only got to worry about Twitter having your information. But if you're on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Google, you've got accounts with all these places. You have to worry.
They're
about...
They're all taking your data.
Yeah, you have to worry about hackers getting data from any individual one of those. But I think this is going to be the next big thing. I think it's inevitable as well. And one of the biggest reasons for me is because as console generations and even PC components get the sort of the margins get narrower and narrower with regard to results. So a better graphics card next time they come out, if you compare that to a current gen graphics card, you're not going to notice like a giant difference. You will
notice
it. It's
not between like PS1 and PS2 levels.
Exactly.
Of graphical ability.
If you go back to Nintendo versus SNES and then PlayStation versus...
We did massive jumps in graphical fidelity.
Exactly.
And now it's like, oh, now you can get your hair to wave a bit more.
Yes. Yeah. So now when you ask people to spend money, like hard-earned cash, on the next level, I don't think they're going to feel like it's justified because they're going to say, like you said, oh, I slightly wave your hair, like I'm not into that.
Yeah, I'd rather pay £40 a month over time, because over about a year or maybe 2 years, that equals out to a really top of the line PC.
Yeah.
But over that time, top of the line PC will evolve, but Google will keep that always at the top, at the peak level.
The difference is, with Google, you're not going to own anything. At some point, it stops, and it's like all of a sudden you're in a renting versus buying situation.
Well, that's the whole deal with online.
If I sign up,
You bought games on their service, and then when the service went bankrupt and went down, that was it.
There is a strange thing, though, in that sense of when was the last time you watched like a DVD that you owned?
A long time ago.
Wow,
yeah, since I took a DVD out, put it in. But I'll watch, if it's on TV, I'll watch it. But then if I won't, so I kind of...
Yeah, but that's almost a really damning thing about like this weird culture of, oh, we'll just watch what we're presented with because we can't be bothered to actually choose to watch our own stuff anymore.
I'm really picky about what I watch, like to a bad degree.
Too fair, I don't watch TV anymore, so it's all on demand, to be fair. But I think the idea that you... the idea that you want to own it so that you can go back and put it in and play it, I think is quite an old
but even
way of doing it.
Even still, I think game ownership and game preservation has a strong like history within the history of like, the video games industry.
It absolutely does.
Like, and if we're talking about as soon as, let's call it like 2020, let's say I make the decision to buy a PlayStation 5, that's my investment, and let's assume that there's not some crazy price increase generation on generation, so I'm going to pay £350.
Yep.
How many months of Stadia is that? And it's if a generation lasts the same
could
amount
be like
of time,
six months. It could be 6 months. It could be like 2 years. We have no idea.
And you're going to be playing on a data center that has the equivalent specs of however many gigaflops.
They could even announce the PS5 itself doesn't have a disk drive. Everything's download or stream only.
I think that's almost inevitable, right? I mean, they do that with really Macs and stuff now.
One of the new Xboxes. I love my discs. One of the new Xboxes will be that way, but that won't be across the board in the next generation.
I think they're underestimating how many people love discs.
Yes.
Although I get called a disc boy when I say
they're great, because then if your internet's down, like mine always is, you can just pop in a disc, no worries.
Or like you said, if you haven't played a game for a long time, you can pop it back in and out, not worrying about
internet
connection.
Instead of taking 40 minutes to download, like 4 hours to download, take about 10 minutes installing. You're done.
And that's the other thing, the download thing is the thing that a lot of companies, I think, have to be careful not to overlook. And I think Google are fine with it, because they're looking very long term with this plan, and they're sort of to the point where they're looking at things like the rollout of 5G as one of the things that will facilitate the rollout of Stadia. But if you're talking about launching a console in the next year or two that doesn't have a disc drive, infrastructure wise on the consumer end, I don't think we're ready for the mass rollout of that stuff.
No,
I think in the West we're in an okay position, but whether it's data caps in the US where people have 100 gigabytes a month or something like that, and one game download it's gone. Or whether you're talking about...
Imagine only one game. You can only download one game.
Right, exactly. Or just countries around the world where the internet speed isn't fast enough to facilitate full game downloads. I think that's where that's an issue.
I'm glad you raised that.
Yes.
Because I have some statistics for you.
Ooh. I'm sure you do.
So currently, Stadia for the 4K, 60 frames a second, they are talking 30 megabit per second bandwidth, right? So we're not talking caps here. The only countries, well, these aren't the only countries that offer that. I'm sure there'll be a lot of people watching this who have got internet that will blow that out of the water. But as an average for the average people in those countries, the top 10 countries are the only ones that have a data rate above that.
Yes.
And they are Singapore, Sweden, Denmark, Norway, Romania, Belgium, Netherlands, Luxembourg, Hungary, and, I don't know what the last one is. Jersey, that's not a country. Oh, it is a country. Guernsey and Jersey. It's one of the islands.
Shout out to the islands.
Jersey. Yo. Well, that's
just Jersey.
So even the UK isn't, I'm not surprised by it, but even the UK is not in the top 10 in terms of average
it's
internet
like 25th.
Speed.
So the UK has an 18 megabit per second average data rate for bandwidth.
And Google are estimating that you need 30 for 4K 60.
Yes. And
there you go.
So Stadia will scale with your bandwidth. So they have said that you'll get a reduced resolution. But I think if we're starting to, I don't think we should even really start talking about that, because nobody's going to want to play it. If you can't play, if you couldn't have played Red Dead Redemption 2 in HDR, 4K, and that's what you bought it for, then I think that's almost a deal breaker for me. Like if I couldn't have played it like that because of data rate or because of bandwidth of my internet, I would have gone for the console. I wouldn't have gone for the cloud-based.
Well, I was
going to
say, a lot of people don't have 4K TVs and don't particularly care about it. So while that's like 30 megabits for 4K, it will be considerably less if you don't want 4K. So you can go down 25, even 22.
Yeah, and blimey, you could be talking even like down to like 10 or 15.
It's just 4K really oomphs it up. I know you've got a 4K TV, Jamie.
I do.
But do you, Alex?
I do.
I thought you're one out now.
But
720p.
I think Chris does, and I think Steph does as well.
Oh, man. Okay.
But so I think that is an interesting point, because I do think that's very valid, is that most people, whilst I think a lot of people who maybe listen to this, a lot of people watching it, will be thinking, I've got that in spades, like my internet could do that. I've got a 4K TV, I've got blah, blah, blah. Or even if I've got a 1080p TV there.
Then it's perfect, people, if you've got a 4K TV, you probably have good enough internet. I imagine you'd want both.
Maybe you don't have it available. I know people who genuinely can't get internet because of where they live. Yeah,
my mum lives out in the countryside. She's got a nice big 4K TV. And luckily she's got a Sky Dish, so she can get satellite TV.
Oh, yeah, right.
But internet,
I was curious, otherwise, what would you get 4K
screwed
with?
So my parents
TV in 4K yet?
Yes. You can get some Sky TVs in 4K, and also There's some other, and Netflix has got some 4K stuff.
Yeah,
as
Netflix
well,
4K, and she's got a Blu-ray
Prime,
player.
Too.
She's got a Blu-ray player, which admittedly you need a 4K specific Blu-ray player
and Blu-ray discs.
4K Blu-rays.
Yeah,
which is one thing that I have.
Which is why I was thinking suddenly it seems really over the top. And I'm
get me wrong. Like for somehow we're still at a point in time where taking full advantage of true 4K is not particularly easy. Which is why I think you're right in saying there's no real rush. Mm. In streaming 4K 60.
So don't freak out if you're like, oh, I can't do 4K. Like, that's cool.
But what,
that's probably
what
better
think,
for you.
What Google are getting out ahead of is that there's no doubt in my mind, based on what the situation was with the PS4 Pro and the Xbox One X, that the PlayStation 5 and the next Xbox, when they come out next year, will undoubtedly be spouting the true native 4K nonsense over and over again.
That'll be the big thing.
And if I think it would be a bad look for Google if they were saying, we're launching at 1080p. And all of a sudden, it's this weird thing of like, okay, actually that's fine, but on paper it looks like you're launching at a quarter of the resolution that the new consoles are.
Well, that's why they said, fuck it, we'll do 8K as well. Yeah, and I was probably. Like, I didn't even know 8K was a thing.
They're just flexing.
I don't think it needs to be. I think that's the most pointless thing that people are doing is 8K.
Google went on stage and said that the worldwide adoption of 8K is inevitable.
I want to say that 8K, you can't even see it.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
I think I'm right in saying that the human eye doesn't wouldn't be able to appreciate.
Yeah. It's one of those things based on the distance most people sit from the screen.
Yeah, because there's an optimal distance, isn't there, between you and a screen. Mm. But that is interesting. You bring up the 8K that they were talking about, because I believe they talked about 120 frames a second at 8K is where they see it going. But if that is a consideration, right? If there are people out there who are thinking about 8K, and if there are companies who will manufacture 8K TVs, I mean, even though I think it's completely pointless.
Don't understand why you'd do it. It'll be like grand for a
They've
TV.
The TV industry needs to find the next thing.
They do. Surely it's like a paper thin TV that you pull down.
They've done that.
That you can like pull out.
Oh, they've done paper thin TVs that like are flat on the wall and like fold, and they've done ones that you can roll up. And
how have I never seen that? I want one.
Oh, because that's all the stuff that they do at like trade shows and conventions.
They're showing off the tech. They don't know what to do with it. They've got it, but it's not really great.
It's probably $5,000 to buy, and it's like this big.
A lot of it's like 480p kind of thing.
They're always doing, whether it was 3D or whether they were curving them or all that kind of stuff.
Why were they curved?
Yeah. But then here's a question around this, because so a console generation is what we're saying, 5 years for a console generation roughly?
I mean, this generation has blurred the lines because it had a half step. But I'd say let's call it six.
Let's call it six. So
6 to 7. Sometimes
you've then got to wonder if because the speed of technology increases so much faster, and because the way manufacturers and things want to make money, like we're saying, you could end up with a situation whereby 2 to 3 years into the next console generation, people are talking about 8K, they're talking about higher frame rates, and the consoles that are out are going to have to start talking about a half step already, purely to meet that market. Whereas this is something that streaming services simply won't have as a problem, because they'll just
step up.
There's
no physical product, so you don't have to worry about re-releasing it.
Exactly. All they're talking about is bandwidth.
Yeah.
So as long as you've got the bandwidth, you can do it. And that's why I think 5G that you already mentioned will be a massive, will make a giant difference.
It certainly will. But let's not also forget that, regardless of the capabilities of Stadia, what it actually does in practice will always be defined by the people making the games and what they do with the technology.
Yes.
Google's
first party
studios, and whatever Jade Raymond decides to do with those teams, for as long as that stuff is Stadia exclusive, that can be fucking 8K 120 frames per second solid gold shite, as far as I'm concerned. But Google are out there right now repping deals and partnerships with companies like Ubisoft, who in this time, in 3 years' time, like when they're looking at the situation 3 years' time, they're going to be saying, right, we've got another Assassin's Creed game. There are, let's say that for the sake of argument, the PS4 and the Xbox One and all the subsequent like half consoles are backwards compatible. They're going to be saying, we've got a new Assassin's Creed game. We've got 200 million people who want to play them on consoles, and 10 million people who want to play them on Stadia. I don't think there's an incentive for them to make an 8K like ridiculous textured version of Assassin's Creed. I think they do what they're doing at the moment, which is let's just make a like a middleman version that can run on everything.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Let's not waste too many resources making That's a version right. of the game that very few people will play. And not just that, we don't make any direct money off, assuming that it becomes a like people make a deal and that Stadia is a subscription service as opposed to.
That's why I think microtransactions will be more heavily pushed.
Microtransactions will be everywhere.
They'll
in Stadia.
Be everywhere. They will you be everywhere. Cannot escape them,
especially if it's going to be like a monthly subscription.
If it's a monthly yeah. subscription deal, like as soon as you're a game that's on that thing, I don't. No one.
Assassin's
knows.
Creed already does it, but it'll be way more heavily incentivized this time. Yeah.
This is why one of the most fascinating things for me is not just how we as consumers pay for Stadia, but it's how Stadia pays the developers.
Mm.
Yes,
Google do have money, but. I don't know if that's going to keep people happy.
I don't know.
And how do you take a game, let's say you take a giant game, like how much are they going to fork out? And then what sort of, are they going to put, you know, are they going to put caveats on that contract? And then you've got, I suppose it is a good point. Like you, at least someone at Activision know that if they're going to make a COD game and they're going to put it out onto PlayStation and it's going to sell and yeah. people are going to buy it, they're going to make a shit ton of money. Whereas if they put it on Stadia and they sign an exclusivity clause, they could turn out. It could turn around that actually, even if everyone on Stadia played it, there yeah. weren't that many people on Stadia playing right. it.
Like,
or do they sign a ridiculous deal with Stadia, where Stadia pay double what they would get anyway to get the exclusivity, and that's how they move whole
Google
chunks of people
it,
over.
Or do Google do what some other people have done in this space, which is say, hey, we'll sign a deal with you, we'll give you some money up front, but all the other money you'll make is going to be based on how many people play your game on Stadia. And how long they play it for, and even in some cases.
That might be a good one, yeah.
And then you get into a horrible situation that I was talking to you guys about the other day, which is, in my opinion, the psychology of games development changes. Where all of a sudden, let's, if we indulge in two hypotheticals, that one, Stadia becomes a huge, huge platform for gaming,
mm-hmm.
tens if not hundreds of millions of users, and that secondly, it's a subscription-based service. You put a game on that service, let's say you make a deal with Google up front, but you know really that most of the money you're going to be making comes from whether or not people download that game and how long they play it for. You're immediately competing with tens, hundreds, thousands of other games that are, to the consumer, free.
Yeah.
Once you've paid yep. the subscription to Google, they see everything in front of them as free. You know, that idea of, I've paid £50 mm. or $60 for this, and therefore I'm going to give it a go.
Yeah, like you sit down, you pay 10 minutes ago, I don't like this, but I paid $50, so I'm going to have to try and make
exactly.
it worth my time.
That is gone.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
so
that's
now,
true. It's very
now
true.
The first it's 5 minutes, first 10, even the first fucking 30 seconds becomes vital. And game development...
That's an interesting
Game
idea.
Development changes, where all of a sudden, you can't have a shit tutorial. You can't have a 5-hour tutorial like Assassin's
People
Creed
might
3.
Turn off.
You've got to have something in your game that within the first 30 seconds says, as someone who has an infinite amount of games to choose from, I'm going to stick with this one. And then, if you're giving up a portion of your profits to Google immediately, how do you make more money on top of that?
Yeah.
You stuff your game to the fucking brim with microtransactions.
Farmville comes
to
Stadia.
See, but you also can't. Because if you stuff your game with microtransactions at the beginning...
Microtransactions.
At the beginning... Then you're going to put those people off. Like,
oh, they won't do it at the beginning. But I'm just saying,
yeah, that's what
more
you,
games
oh, right,
across
okay,
the
yeah.
board will be... If you're developing a game and you're saying, hey, 75% of our player base is going to be on Google Stadia, mm. and that is... We're not going to make any money from that. We're not going to make however many million times $60. You're going to make as much money as you can on microtransactions.
I reckon Google are going to make a first-party Battle Royale game. It's going to do gangbusters, beat Apex Legends out of the water, and Google are going to be happy.
And that's going to be the people's in.
They'll just pay everyone else. They don't care anymore. Yeah. They're making bank.
But it's also a weird thing that so they could, if they were smart, like the control. So a controller, if you buy a controller for PlayStation 4, right, it's like £50.
Yeah,
yeah. They're friggin' expensive, and it does nothing except it's a controller. If you can
it's got
buy
a microphone, no, it hasn't got. It's got a speaker in it.
Okay.
Wait. They should be charging $60.
Yeah, I know. No, I mean, I'm just saying, like, that's the one kind of gimmick. It's got a touchscreen and a speaker.
But I mean, you can't really use it as anything else, right? It's just a controller. Whereas
it makes a good door weight.
Oh yeah, you could keep a jam it in between into a window. It's an expensive way to keep a door or a window open.
It's effective.
Okay, but let's say now. Let's go back to that analogy. Let's go back to the example of somebody who goes into a shop looking to buy a console or a game or whatever. If you can, if they use that controller as like a loss leader. And they sell that thing for like £20, and you get with it one free month,
ooh.
And things like that.
Ooh.
This is how I can see it kind of changes the world and the industry. Because if you're a kid and you wanted to play Apex Legends, but you don't have a PlayStation 4, the barrier to entry for that to get on a play that, or to play get an Xbox One, or to get even like a Switch, the barrier to entry is bloody high, right?
Yeah.
And you've got to wait. You've probably got to wait for your birthday. You've got to wait for Christmas. You've got to be very nice to your parents. You've got to do some mad newspaper rounds to
get
to
clean the car a lot.
But let's say you walk into a game, or you walk into whatever shop you want, a frigging supermarket, and for 20 quid, you can get on and you can play AAA titles. And to you, for all you're thinking about, and this is what happens a lot in this day and age, all you think about is, for 20 quid, I can be playing my friend's Apex Legends tonight.
Yeah.
And you say to your mum...
Anywhere, because I can be on my phone.
Anywhere. And you say to your mum, oh, mum... And 5G has rolled out, and it's 5G rollout is like a gigabit a second, right? So we're not even talking about...
What?
But now...
So we're talking of five... We're probably talking like 5 to 10 years away.
And that's the thing. This is where I worry that we're slipping into Jonesyville. Where
okay, cool. Thanks
everything
for bringing me
out. Everything is very much this ideal situation of like... Google Stadia is a flawless service.
No, not flawless by any stretch. We're talking about as they've announced it. So, but you can at least play Apex Legends, right? And all you need is the controller, because you've got a TV or whatever.
Sure.
And every TV now is a smart TV, so you can play. Everyone's got a TV that's on wireless and connected to the internet and got Chrome built into it or whatever. So all I'm thinking is, as soon as you've got a barrier to entry that doesn't exist, effectively doesn't exist. Especially people with less money, like parents, if they've got to decide between this console, or they can go away and they can sign up their kid or whoever, and they can play right now for 20 quid. And they go, yeah. Shall I get the PlayStation so they can play Apex Legends for free? And it's 250 quid or 350 quid.
Or this 20 quid controller.
Or a 20 quid controller, thing. Which does exactly the same thing.
And he doesn't
have
to play
it
in the living room. They can do it upstairs.
And they can play it wherever they want. They've already got a phone, they've got an iPad, or they've
on
got
the phone,
a TV.
Do you think it'll be touchscreen controls, or will you have to have the controller?
Oh, please, God, don't let it
I
be.
Think you'd probably have to have a controller.
So I hope it comes with a clip that you can adjust. Otherwise,
that would be nice.
We're all going to be on the train, like.
But that's going to be real. I'm going to go into Happy Land for a second. That would be so cool, because we're all sitting here at work and we go on our lunch break. We could all just quickly play a game of Apex.
Yeah. You're also not...
Within seconds.
All together as well. So the Switch, I like the idea of the Switch. I like the idea of, hey everyone, get your Switch out and put them back to back. Do you know how many times that's happened?
I think we've done that twice.
Like, wouldn't it be like in the world, just
oh,
people
quite a few
coming
times.
Together?
If we discount those cool rooftop parties that I'm never invited to,
so I don't think they've ever. I don't think those cool rooftop parties have ever happened.
For what real? About when people play NBA 2K next to the basketball court?
That was crazy.
Whoa,
I think you're right in that people get together, friends get together.
But it's not
to
a casual
it.
Thing. We plan it.
It's not casual.
Like, we call each other and go, "Yo, bring it around."
Exactly. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's all planned, right? You've got to think ahead. You've got to plan. Yeah. You've got to go to it. It's not like a free form thing.
Oh, whoa! I just happen to have my Switch on me. Crazy. But that's me. I don't tend to.
It
take
becomes
it out
a lot more time and place.
Yes, but like, you've already got your phone on you, it's in your pocket. If you had a controller, which you just took everywhere with you anyway, because you can play any game you want anywhere, like remotely.
Yeah. I think one of the things that still blows my parents' mind, for example, is they'll bring up a movie and there's a website called, I think it's called justwatch.tv or something like this, where you can type in the name of a movie and it tells you which streaming services it's available on.
That's cool.
And if it's not on any, how much it costs in each store. And my mum will be like talking about a movie and I'll pull it up and I'll be like, oh, okay, that's on Now TV or Amazon Prime. And I'll get the app on my phone and I'll start playing it over 4G and I'll turn my phone around. And my mum is watching this movie and she's like, and it blows
that
her mind.
Seconds.
But for us, we're like, of course, it's 2019. You know, we want immediate gratification and all that stuff. We need it as soon as we ask for it. Yeah. We're not used to that with gaming yet. And one of the cool things about Stadia is it can be that. And as long as it adopts that Netflix style system, I think most of us see Netflix as pretty darn good value for money.
Yeah.
Because
oh,
it's
absolutely,
comparable to the price of one DVD. Per month,
you get all
that
shows,
and you're watching as much. And as long as Stadia can sort of fulfill that criteria, sets the right price point, has the right library, and works as well as Google say it will, then I have no issue with it personally.
It's interesting you say what it's the cost of one DVD a month, because I wonder if that is a way you can kind of gauge it.
So one game a month,
yeah, one game a month.
That's why I thought 40 quid.
Honestly, if like the deals they're signing with Ubisoft mean that, hey. The new Watch Dogs 3 and the new Splinter Cell are day and date on Stadia, then £40 a month to me becomes worth it.
As soon as there's one game on there I would get, it makes it all worth
it's
it.
It's a lot. So it's almost 500. It's £480 a year.
Yep.
It's a lot. And that sounds like
a
scary
beefy
figure.
Gaming PC is up to 1,500. So that's
but
3 years
a console,
of Stadia.
And then every game you've got to buy with it, every peripheral, anything that you want to update. Yeah. You've kind of, and you're nailing all of that. The only thing you have to buy, I suppose, is the controller.
The only thing you've really got to nail is the controller. The controller's got to feel nice.
And hope that there's not going to be sort of any extra fees. Yeah, the controller does look shit.
I like the idea of never having to worry about never having to worry about downloading patches and things like that. Mm-hmm. Never having turning on, like I did the other day with Legends, where I turned on Apex Legends and it said, oh, you've got to wait 20 minutes before it. And I was like, oh, for God's
sake. I wonder if I know they show it jumps seamlessly between each console when they showed it on the stage. But I wonder if you can put it almost like in sleep mode, so that you're playing it maybe first thing in the morning, and then you go to work and you open up the computer and it just continues from where you were.
I don't see any reason why it shouldn't work like that.
Which is what the Switch does that, right? Doesn't it? If you hit the power button on the Switch, it just goes to sleep and you boot it up.
The Xbox One can do that as well.
Okay.
And the PS4.
And the
they can all do it, but I was curious more so if you decided to jump onto a different game and you went, oh, actually, I kind of want to play Assassin's Creed again. You jump back. Does it just kick you back to where you were? Are they on separate servers? Or is it running it?
I don't see why it would. I mean, if you're talking about Netflix, so I've got Netflix on my phone.
Because that knows where you are all the time on every show.
Yeah, and so I'll be on the train and I'll be watching a downloaded episode of something on my Netflix on my phone.
But that's significantly easier than a game to
figure out. It's kind of not. So what we're really talking about...
But a game presumably has to keep running. Otherwise, we're just talking about a traditional save and load system, which is what games use anyway. A game to be exact moment.
I don't think it needs to be
running in an instant. Has to keep running. Right?
I don't think it necessarily does nowadays because saving. I don't think works.
No,
in the
but
same
even
way.
On Google's control points, where their big data centers with all the power, they still need to launch a game. Like games don't just go like that, and they never will.
So your first time booting, would you keep
running? A movie is a different kettle of fish to a game in terms of fire this up and be at this exact point. In an instant.
A movie is at most 3 gigs and it is a single linear piece of content.
Yes.
It is consumable online. A game is open.
It is.
You can skip ahead in a video. You can't skip ahead in a game. You'll need to load.
Sure. I suppose I'm kind of, again, maybe I'm thinking too far in the future whereby there is a seamless transition between, a game booting up and you being in exactly the same
place. All games will be one game. It will just be called a game. And that'll be it.
And they'll scan it into your eyeballs.
One thing that did get me a little bit excited about.
A microsecond.
Yeah. I've got to touch on this a little bit, of course, because it has to happen. But if you think about Ready Player One, right, and the Oasis.
Everything is
based on that hub world. And then you look at if you put together 5G and not Stadia but cloud based gaming.
So you want us to wear weird suits where we can feel the virtual world?
Oh, mate, I want one of those weird suits.
No, you don't.
But VR, right? VR on a cloud based service, when you don't need a PC sitting there, chugging away, running all of that stuff, and you can have something just piped straight into a headset.
Yeah,
I think that will make VR viable.
I think VR is as viable as it needs to be right now. The issue VR has is that people aren't making good enough games for it.
Yeah, I agree.
Also, I think it's hard. I think the problem they've got is the controls with VR is a very
cloud-based gaming. Cloud-based gaming and 5G don't fix the fact that we can't run in VR.
No, they don't. They don't at all. But I think.
Do you think Stadia will
could
be
run?
VR?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, maybe in the long run they'll have some kind of solution for it, but I don't think they care out the game.
There is a number of issues they have to address, and they have not even looked at that. But I can see it being a thing that in the future can sort of open it up to people, because it will be a case of you've got connection anywhere, the device can track wherever you're going to be. It might be
you still need a headset.
You still need a headset.
They're
absolutely.
They're never going to be cheap because those displays need to be of a certain resolution, a certain refresh rate.
So you're still going to have
that.
And you
need two of them.
You're still going to have that barrier to entry, and that you're going to need people to buy their headset. Mm-hmm. But look, I can see it. I can just foresee it.
Of course you can. You're Mr. Fucking Future.
I think within 10. So we've always said 5 to 10 years. I think I'm being a bit optimistic.
But if you keep saying that every 5 to 10 years, and that seems like a long time.
It does.
Yeah.
It's been. I've known you for nearly 2 years, and you said 5 to 10 years. Then, so
let's say 10 years. 10 years. Consoles are dead.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Wow, okay.
Gone.
Bold.
Oh, God. I don't know if I agree. Okay. Yeah,
I'm going to stick with my in 2 years that cloud-based gaming.
That's wrong as well.
Is going to be...
Here's a question then.
By the end of 2021, than console share of the market.
If you think that in 2 years' time... cloud-based gaming will be bigger than consoles. Why do you think consoles will take another 8 years to die? Because I think there's a contradiction in your
not at all. Because for me to win my argument, I just need 51% of the share of the market share 50, of gaming.
As soon I tell you something.
Sorry, not 51%. So like 20%, whatever consoles.
Let's say Google Stadia had hundreds of millions of users within 2 years, like Sony and Microsoft wouldn't be sitting there going, "Oh, we've still got 49%." They'd be sitting there thinking, "Fuck, we have lost. It's game over." You don't get 51% that quickly, and it stops.
I think 51% is because that's obviously including PC gaming and all sorts of other sorts of gaming. And I'm talking specifically console. But let's say consoles have got 20 to 30% of the market. I'm saying cloud-based gaming will have a larger amount. So maybe that's got 15%, and consoles have got 14%.
Why do you think, especially as Sony and Microsoft have their, you know, they're dipping their toe in the water for streaming, why do you think they keep putting boxes on under people's TVs for another 8 years?
Because I think that they already would have had those consoles out there in the market. I don't think they'll necessarily bring out a next gen, but they will. That 15% of them, their 15% they own, will no. It won't be worth 100 billion or whatever it is now. It will be worth 150 billion because the market will grow anyway. So they're still making a shit ton of money.
8 years until they say we no longer are making this console, or like 8 years until the last PlayStation is.
Ten years until the last
PlayStation is manufactured.
Because that would allow one more cycle. In theory, PS5 would come out.
I think
the PS6 would come out in the next 10 years.
I'd say 10 years until they say we're no longer making this product.
So you think the PlayStation 5 is the last PlayStation ever, as we know it?
I actually think they won't wait that long to make the PlayStation 6 because they won't be able to. Or there'll be a half step, like we said before. So I think there'll be a PlayStation 5, then there will be something else. Similar, there'll be the Xbox, whatever the hell they're calling the next Xbox.
Their naming is so confusing.
Next Box.
And then they'll have an Xbox after that. But then
Xbox 2.
But that will happen within five. That'll happen within 5 years, or maybe even less.
So the next generation is going to happen on queue. Generation after this will be, but it'll be a shorter generation.
But it'll be a half step.
Another half step, and then
4 to 5 years, and then that's it.
See, I don't think you're right.
And look, hey, let me put one reason as to why I think that will definitely happen. And this is this is a left field example. When you think about plastics, and you think about like extracting
like fake fans, plastics.
No. Actual plastics like
no, I know,
polyurethane or whatever they make the friggin' PlayStation, the Xbox houses out of. Every time you have to extract that, buy it, like make that plastic casing for that machine, yep. You sell 200 million units. It's a shit ton of plastic. Yeah. You've then got the metal that houses the actual system inside of it, and holds everything together. You've got screws and bolts and all sorts of bollocks. The second that those elements become too expensive to produce versus how much it is to do cloud-based streaming, because you just need to slide one big industrial graphics card into a unit, and this is all shrinking, and you can do more on one given inch of real estate. Second, that production of that unit is nowhere near as efficient as producing one big unit that you house locally, and you've got 5G everywhere. I think that it becomes a completely untenable situation.
I don't disagree. I think
you've got a point.
I think just raw materials, they're going to say, do you know what? Oil's so fucking expensive, or plastic's so expensive now. Fuck it off.
But there is an inevitability.
That'll take a long time.
I agree.
I think 10 years before that becomes.
I think
I think there will be cloud-based PlayStations and Xboxes. I don't think PlayStation and Xbox disappear. And the Switch and Nintendo, I think they all become virtual consoles, if you like. They will have their own...
Boxes will be the first to go. Not discs themselves, but the boxes that they come with will shrink down.
So you can download it onto like your TV or something like that? The games or...?
No, so I guess like they would just come in slips, like sleeves.
I don't know.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Like they do when you rent them from Blockbuster.
Oh, Blockbuster.
Remember that?
I do.
Back in the day.
It's... I hope I'm not being hyperbolic. I hope you guys can back
me
up.
Mate, I am hyperbolic up the arse.
It's the hyperbolic time chamber up in here.
I think it's the biggest. I think it will be the biggest change in the games industry possibly ever, in my opinion. Well,
bigger than arcade to home.
Yeah,
that was a huge change.
That was massive. Yeah.
I just think like you talk about plastics and metals, that has been what the games industry has been for like 40 to 50 years now, which is the best part of its life cycle.
It's kind of ironic because it's kind of going backwards, right? Because you had one arcade that loads of people went and played on, and then you had move it into the house and everyone has one.
Yeah.
And it's kind of saying, let's go back. So you put it all somewhere else again.
Yeah.
One thing I think...
But everyone still has it, but in their pocket now. It's not in their home, it's within their
And the thing is, we've got used to it.
Yeah.
Like, I think one thing that gamers are very good at without realizing is adopting things they claim they don't like.
Yes.
It's almost like the Apple situation where Apple, through what they called innovation, used to make things obsolete and introduce new formats and new practices that everyone was like, what the fuck is a USB? Get that shit out of my phone.
I don't want that.
And now imagine life without USB.
Be weird.
Now imagine a phone without a headphone jack. Couldn't live without it. Now that the idea of a phone with a headphone jack blows my mind. I think
that's hilarious. I genuinely, for a second, I'm like, what do you do about a headphone jack? I'm like, oh, my phone doesn't have one and I don't
use mine. Yeah, I was about to say, holy shit.
That's so weird.
That is strange.
We're very good at complaining about stuff and then getting used to it because we've got no choice. Because like you said, the bottom line and the margins make sense for the companies that lead the charge. So they push in that direction and we accept it.
It's weird when the companies say, trust us, it'll work. And everyone goes, no, it won't. Three years later, it actually worked. None of us care.
I think I hate to invoke his name when he's not here, but I think Chris is a phenomenal example of the change that the video games industry has already seen when it comes to shit we claim we don't like that's already changed our lives. Because before...
He hated video games, now he loves them.
Well, what I was going to say was that before I was even conceived, not to try and, highlight the age difference between Chris and myself, but before
he's
I was
only
even,
10.
I'm only 10, but I'm an old 10. 10 going on 20.
Old soul.
My mum would tell me. But Chris was, he was sat in front of an SNES and he was blowing dust out the cartridge, and that was the kind of gaming that, he grew up with. Cartridge-based and eventually disc-based gaming.
Yeah, me too.
It was all physical media. What is Chris's favorite game right now?
Dead Souls.
Dota 2.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, not right. Sorry, I should have said
yeah,
that.
His favorite game of right all now, time, like, always.
In general. Yeah, Dota 2.
What is Dota 2? Dota 2 is a free-to-play, digital-only product for PC that is supported by microtransactions in a sense that he puts money into every year when he buys the compendium. It's leading the charge in esports, and, it is the exact opposite of the kind of gaming that Chris was raised on. But I think gamers are far better than they want to admit at adopting and growing to love advances that they claim to hate at the outset. And I think that would be the same with streaming. I just don't think it would be on the timescale you set out. So apologies on that.
But
it's inevitable. Because Google do this and everyone gets scared. Google do this, Amazon will do this eventually.
Everyone will do this.
Sony and Microsoft will respond and they're going to try and
Amazon
and
Apple already got Apple, their own game marketplace.
Will Apple do it?
Maybe. They might be too late already unless they're already working hard. But there will come a point where, it will just be the thing the service that everyone offers. It will be the thing that, people who are younger than you, or in some cases even much, much older than us, who don't have the same kind of, stubbornness about this stuff, mm-hmm. will adopt it, will show it to be, hopefully, convenient and good value for money.
And all the world will change. Cases,
yeah, it will shift. And all of a sudden, there are some people who still, Milo's got a PlayStation 2 under his desk. With a bunch of PS2 games.
Got
Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, still sat there. That will still happen. There will still be
they're not going anywhere.
I've still got a PS4 in the basement, but the thing you're doing day to day, it will probably change as it already has.
The thing that really sold it to me was when I realised, because I always thought I would never not buy a CD and then or download music. When I was at uni, downloading music was the thing, right? Not always legally, but downloading music.
Napster.
I haven't downloaded a song. My phone might download music for me to listen to.
But you never actively downloaded a song.
I never actively download. I don't buy, albums.
Yeah.
I just click on a song I want to hear.
The price of an album is the same as a month of Spotify. Yeah. Similar to the Netflix model where I get one album or every album.
I just tell my friggin' Echo, play this song. She doesn't go, sorry, Alex, you don't own that song. I'm like, what do you mean I don't own it? I own every song.
Yeah.
Imagine when they start doing exclusivities with stores. I know we had that with Tidal for a while back. No one did it. Jesus. No one bought into it.
I'd hate
imagine that. You want to listen to this album? You've got to buy Apple Music.
You know what? I suppose there is going to end up being a third-party system. We're talking about how do you make it work with regard to all these different offerings and all these different cloud-based services. You'll have to end up having a third-party hub, which you sign up to everything, but then it just funnels everything into one pot so you can look at... So you have access to everything.
Sonos does that.
£300 or something.
Sonos does that now. If you have Apple Music, Spotify, or Deezer, all that shit.
I love it.
It finds it for you and just goes, oh, yeah, it's on this, this, and this.
I love it.
You're like, cool.
useful. It's a shame I have to use a Sonos app, but
it's funny because I think a lot of people, especially like PC gamers, you know, I've got a gaming PC. A lot of PC gamers think they are the PC master race, and everything is about we're the true gamers and stuff. And yeah. You know, turn your nose up a little bit at console people. I kind of was like that for a bit. I play much more on my consoles than I do on my PC.
We brought you back down.
I've been brought back down.
You're a pleb again.
But then you do. There is a weird thing that you have to realize that you are a minority. You are a small section of the market that doesn't actually drive that much, because you're buying kit that is made available for other things. Like, PCs aren't inherently there just for gamers, and amazing graphics cards don't exist.
The games
exist.
Are made on PCs.
They're made on PCs, and you get an amazing PC and you play the game, but you are a small set. Most people can't afford that kind of gaming PC. They can't afford a rig that will run everything amazingly at full settings and everything. So I kind of think that we have to recognize, and gamers broadly as well, we moan about mobile gaming and how many of our mums sit there playing Candy Crush. At some point, it's going to be a lot bigger giant is going to make shit happen. Ain't going to be us.
Those are the statistics that Google are chasing. And when Google get out on stage and say, this is how many gamers there are, and this is the people we're essentially targeting, they're not actually talking about us.
No, like, they're talking about mobile gamers.
Yeah, exactly. Google will probably see us at this table and most of the people watching as the long game. People who already own and are invested in the current console generation, probably the next console generation, and they have to ease us into their ecosystem. But they're looking at the mums playing Candy Crush as the fucking easy wins.
Yeah.
They're saying, hey, this thing, we're going to be on phones.
Yeah.
We're going to have an app. Like, let's just get
them
in.
God, imagine you're someone in your 40s, maybe, you know, you're waiting around watching a kid's football game or something, and you're on your phone, you're on a YouTube ad for Assassin's Creed, and you go, oh yeah, he's always on about that. What, play from my phone? Yeah, right. You press a button. Suddenly it's on your phone. It's there. Your mouth drops. You can't believe it. Boom, you're sold. You're in. You're completely in.
And I know
that grabs. That'll work.
I'm pretty sure that we only area of disagreement, I think, is time frame, right? That's the only really area we agree with.
I still have some concerns about the idea of handing over the keys of everything to one big monolithic scary company.
That could be intimidating.
There's still some stuff about this that, like, for whatever reason, a little bit reluctant to fully give myself over to. But at the same time, we agreed that I have to concede that this is at least in some way going to be a part of the future of video gaming. And like, it has to change. And if they're like, I think I can see it moving in this direction over time.
So we start with the question of, when will consoles get sort of beaten by cloud-based gaming? I say 2 years. I want to hear from you guys.
I think you're insane.
No, I know, it's fine.
I think 2 years is way too soon.
What are you saying? Do you think it will happen? If so, when do you think it will happen? What sort of time frame would you put on it?
I could get a better guess if I knew what Stadia was, because I still don't.
Well, not Stadia, but let's talk just in general.
Cloud gaming in general. Over the next 10 years, I can see it picking up.
10 years?
It'll be drip feeding. The mobile market will be snatched up very quickly, providing the advertising and marketing. It's all about marketing. For them, it's about you need to get the marketing on point. How you get advertised.
I kind of agree with Milo's timescale. But I don't think it happens. I think it happens indirectly because of Stadia.
Yeah.
Which is to say, I think that next year, 2020, we get more traditional consoles.
Mm-hmm.
Companies like Microsoft begin to experiment with consoles that don't have a disk drive. But what happens is that Stadia comes out, Stadia launches 2020 in as many territories as it does. And the influence and the draw and the appeal of streaming services starts to grow. By which point you get to sort of like a critical mass. And when we're looking at the next generation of consoles, you know, what would be the PlayStation 6 and the next Xbox, whatever that's going to be called, they have reached the point where they look at Google and whatever other companies like Amazon are doing by that point and say, we need to work this into what we make. And all of a sudden, there's something in the next place in that PlayStation Xbox that represents streaming, and all of a sudden that change happens all at once, and sort of everyone's there at once. And I think that's when the shift happens. It won't be because Stadia gradually grows. It will be because Stadia gradually grows. Everyone else says we need to do the same thing.
Everyone
and then all
at the
of a
same
sudden
time.
Everyone's doing it at once. Yeah.
Can you give us
doesn't really give
anyone
an option. It's like, you're going to like this now. That's all we've got.
This is what you will.
This
have.
Is what we're doing.
Well, I guess I don't know if there's going to be half step consoles. But if I had to put a date on it, then I would go 2020. I think during the year of 2028.
2028, okay.
I think,
because I think that's the year.
It's 9 years.
I think that is the either the year that the next generation of consoles come out, or the first full year of those consoles, and I think they have some element of streaming worked into them, alongside the rise of services like Stadia, and all of a sudden there's enough options out there that actually the cumulative amount of people streaming games across all services and all platforms becomes comparable to the people not doing it. Okay. Even if there's some people who are doing both on the same console.
Okay, so I'm saying 2 years. Milo, you're saying 10 years. Jamie, yeah. You're saying sort of about 9 years.
Yeah.
And I'll be back in 10 years to sit down here again.
We all will. Fuck, that would be the best thing ever. Here, we could do a 10-year anniversary podcast.
We'll do a 2-year anniversary.
I'll be sitting here. I won't even be here. I'll have my VR goggles and my VR suit on somewhere else on a cloud-based system, holographically projecting myself.
He's going to be an anime waifu, isn't he? Wearing his foxtail outfit.
Ready Player One, indeed.
I've got to kick this back to the viewers and the listeners, though. I want to know, I genuinely am interested to know what people think. When do you think that switch will happen? When do you think cloud-based services will sort of take over, either beat console or just take over the market, become the biggest thing in the market? You can let us know on @AllTimeGamingTV on Twitter and Instagram. You can go to our Facebook, All Time Gaming Official. You can also go onto our Discord and you can let us know on there. Yeah, and if you are on our Discord already, I am genuinely interested to find out what you think. So I think...
Sorry, we were not paying attention.
That's been a great conversation. I enjoyed this.
Yeah, I
enjoyed this thoroughly. I've wanted to talk about this at length.
Well, you do enough off camera.
I know.
I thought I might as well do it on camera.
It's more talking at you, though, to be fair. I hope I haven't done too much of that in this.
Nah,
in this
it's fine. I just feel threatened. It's
cool. I think before we go, though.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
We do have to come back to the fact that this is your final
it is.
Super show.
This is my last week at All Time Gaming.
So yeah, we are trying to think of a couple of questions for you. I think Jamie had a good one before we started, which was, what is your fondest memory of being your time with All Time Gaming?
Yeah. Oh man.
Maybe fill in a little bit of your backstory, because there's going to be people watching who obviously they'll have seen you on the Super Show the last couple of months, I guess, and the odd stream here and there.
Live stream, like, how long have you been?
With All Time Gaming,
just under 2 years. Wow. I reckon.
Yeah. You've blown some people's minds now. They're like, I thought you were a new person.
Yeah, I know, right?
Still getting used to it. Weird. We've known you for 2 years.
I started 2017 in about June, so it's not completely 2 years, but close enough that I like rounding up. Yeah, I came here straight after university, like a week after uni I came here.
That is mad, that.
I just remember my job interview, sitting down with you, you three, with Chris there, and Jamie just looks at me and goes, Pizza Hut or Domino's?
We asked the important questions.
Everyone was silent, staring at me. I didn't know what to say. And I freaked out.
What did you go with?
End of the day, when you're drunk enough, pizza's pizza.
That's
a good answer. That's the right. That's probably why you got the job.
Yeah, I remember you leaning back, going, "Fair enough." And that was it. I had no idea. I walked out of the interview going, "Did I get it? Was that the only question that mattered? What's going on?"
Everything else was a trick.
Yeah,
or the games-based questions were tricks.
Yeah.
So have you got a fondest memory? Have you got something that stands out
to me as a lot of kind of going, that kind of defined what ATG was. It was relaxed and taking the piss.
These guys don't know what they're doing.
But yeah, I didn't quite realise that.
I can rinse these
there.
Boys dry. They've got no idea what they're doing.
I think a special thing for me was when I first came that day, walking around doing a tour, and I went upstairs to see our green room. So behind the scenes, we have a green screen, obviously. But back when I first joined, everything was shot on a tripod that's being held up with a crap TV next to it on just a little dolly that was
upside down as well.
Upside down. It was just a mess. It was on two chairs that were stacked next to each other. We didn't have a proper tripod. Yeah. When we did our gameplay videos, we just filmed it having a screen on a chair, and we had like wires hanging. We had to have someone holding the wires the whole time. Yeah. It was so guerrilla and low budget.
God, and this was all filmed in an empty, unused apartment as well.
And it felt just so perfect. I was like, yeah, this is exactly where I want to be and what I want to do. And it felt like every day going in there was fun, and it was a laugh.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Cool.
I'm glad it started.
Well, the green screen's gone on better.
I'm sorry.
Well, we've got, obviously, we've leveled up. Hey.
Yeah, I guess
so. Now we've got a Super Show. It still feels like it is a load of friends doing what they want to do and being who they want to be. And I hope that never changes.
Well, thank you for being a part of it.
Yeah. I'm glad. I hope to come back. For those knowing, yeah, I am going to travel Asia for a bit. I'm going to go to Japan and try and start doing some videos there while I can about the games industry.
Nice. Well, we'll be sharing them.
Yeah, let us know
very much.
Start.
I have no idea what's going on. It'll be anime stuff probably.
Wicked.
You know me.
We have plenty of anime fans here at All Time Games.
As turns out, we've gone on the live streams. I've got people who like anime.
Hell yeah.
And you will be on the live stream tomorrow as well, so people
yes,
can catch you there.
Yes, people can check out there. And ask me as many questions as you like. I'll be throwing things out, answering any old questions that you want to know.
That's a great shout. We should make it like an AMA.
Yeah.
Like a Milo AMA.
We'll have
well.
A game
farewell
running.
Farewell stream.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
tears definitely. Will be shed.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, if you have any questions for us, for the next podcast, if you want to talk to us, if you want to just let us know what you thought of the show, or you want to check out any of our other content, look at our YouTube channel. And again, it is at All Time Gaming TV on Twitter and Instagram, and on our Facebook, All Time Gaming Official. And we will see you next time.
We will. I won't, but they will.
We will.
God, I may be back in the future. Who knows?
Who knows?
But until then.
Special guest.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
That'd be great.
One day.
Who knows?
See ya.
Bye.